I'm going to try not to be as long today as I normally am. It doesn't have anything to do with Father's Day or my birthday or anything like that. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I like that one. I like that picture. All right, next slide. There we go. Okay, yeah, the sower. There's a dad out there helping his family. Looks like they're harvesting, though. So that's a point we're trying to get at, right? And, it's never too late to be a father. Like, you may think, hey, what did I do wrong? My kids made mistakes. But that's okay as long as you maintain a relationship. Everybody's going to make mistakes, right? Even a father can't be a perfect father, right? I even got a late start. I'm 60 and I got a 16-year-old. I'm 60-teen. I don't know. Next slide. Okay, so yes, I thought I'd do a Father's Day special. So this is it. Welcome to the Father's Day special. Train children in the right way, and when they're older, they won't stray. They'll make some mistakes, but we show them how to get to God. We do the best we can. That way they're not going to be behind bars. That's unusual. I'm used to talking to people there behind bars, so it's kind of weird not to have those blurry bars in a way. But yeah, so we do our best to keep our kids out of trouble. Sometimes they'll make a mistake, but then they always remember what we taught them. I always remember what we taught him. Next slide. So Ephraim was a trained heifer that loved to thresh, and I spared her fair neck, that I will make Ephraim break the ground. Judah must plow, Jacob must harrow for himself. I think those guys are grandparents up there. Or they got off to a late start like me, but he's being a good father and he's delegating and letting them train the heifer, right? So This is Old Testament scripture. I always like to have like an Old Testament reading that's kind of compatible with the New Testament one. And this is actually, sparing the neck. That means that means a heifer could eat whatever was threshing or plowing. It could even graze. Could eat some of the weeds while it was plowing. And so actually, that means God. Even though we work for God, He gives us rewards. He gives us rewards. So don't muzzle the ox that treads the corn, or don't put the yoke on the heifer where she can't eat, right? All right, next slide. Now before this is a warning too. Hosea was a prophet. It's part of the Tanakh. It's like the old Jewish Old Testament. But Hosea was a prophet, and he was warning Israel. He's like, you got to start doing the right stuff. Because if you don't do the right stuff, the Assyrians are going to come. Well, they did. They came, they saw, they conquered, just like the Romans a little bit later. And so we're heading towards the New Testament, but right now we're in the Old Testament. This is an age of judgment. We're getting ready to go to the age of grace, right? So, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, that He may come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen. Next slide. There's Jesus. That same day, Jesus went out of the house, sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around Him that He got into the boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Now, wow, why did Jesus have to get in a boat? Okay, here in church we pray and we do prayer requests and stuff. Okay, well, imagine if Jesus was here. He'd be like, oh, okay, there you go. Okay, you're better. People tried to touch a hem of His garment. People also heard about the water and the wine. It's like, oh, man, this canteen would be better if it had wine in it, right? So, yeah, Jesus is like, I gotta teach people things. I can't just go around doing miracles. So He had to kind of get further away so He could teach people, because, what good is it if we see miracles, but we don't know anything about God? And so Jesus was God in the flesh, and He wants to be closer to us. He wants to be inside of us, really. And so that's why He got out there to preach. Next slide. Now, he who has ears, let him hear. And then later on in that chapter, it talks about, the disciples are like, why are you speaking in stories? And He's like, well, you know, so that people... It sounds like Jesus is kind of hiding a secret teaching or something, because it says, well, that they may hear and not understand and see and not perceive. But I don't interpret it like that. I think Jesus was gradually breaking people in to the truth in the Bible, because his teaching wasn't like the Torah readings, you know, which is good. You know, you read the Torah and you see God's law and everything. But that was age of law, age of judgment. This is age of grace. And so Jesus was teaching a new way. And so he had to start out with parables, and then later on people would catch on more. Like, he'd explain to disciples what he meant, and then the disciples, people would ask the disciples, hey, what was he talking about? And then the disciples are like, this is what he was talking about. So that's what Jesus, he even sent out, there were 12 disciples. Yeah, I was counting that. Back there it shows the Last Supper. And I was like, which one's Mary Magdalene? I was looking at all the ones without beards. But then I counted them. I'm like, oh, she went somewhere. She's not in that Last Supper. But yeah, so that's what Jesus, that's what he meant. Next slide. So, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything to remind you of all that I said to you. And so you think about the parables, and also, what does God do? Speak in a still, small voice, right? He doesn't speak in an earthquake. He doesn't speak in a fire. I mean, he can. He has before. But he wants us to listen to the still, small voice. He doesn't want us just to see miracles, although that affirms our faith. And that's wonderful to see all the signs and wonders going on in this church even. So, but we have to spiritually listen for God. And he's not always going to talk to us in a way that we want him to. But a lot of times I see it almost every day. There's always some kind of circumstance or something. I'm like, oh yeah, I know that's you, God. You're showing me something. So we tune ourselves in spiritually. Oh no, you can go on. Next one, that's good. In a world filled with noise, we must choose to hear the still, small voice of God. So we got to tune our spiritual ears up. Next slide. So then he told them many things in a parable. He said, hey, farmer went out to sow his seed. There's Douglas with his tractor that always breaks down. So, hey, before we do God's work, we got to do maintenance on our spiritual lives, right? Next slide. God will send us a little help too. So our hearts must be right even to spread the word of God. Next slide. So as he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds of the air came and they ate it up. What is there about a path? Back then, they'd plow everywhere. You know, they'd be like, okay, we're just going to plow this area. And so they plow the whole field, even where people walk a lot, you know, because you'd cut through the field to take a shortcut to town, you know, stuff like that. Just like on The Chosen, Jesus and the disciples just walked through a field, right? It was okay back then. Even in the Bible, it says if you're passing through somebody's field and you're hungry, you can take enough to eat, and a person's not supposed to care. Try that around here, right? Man, those oranges look good. There's a lot of them on the ground, but, you know, maybe I'll leave them alone. But, yeah, I think I'd put up free oranges or something. I don't know. But, you know, so back then people would cut through, and so wherever the seed was sown, it would get trampled on. And then the earth would be so hard anyhow that if there was any seed left over, it wouldn't grow. And so instead of growing, the birds would eat it. Which they eat it in a plowed field too, but if it's plowed, it can sprout. It has a chance to sprout in time. It falls in between the cracks, and so it's good. You don't need a scarecrow as much, right? Although those don't really work, do they? Has anybody tried one of those? Next slide. So yeah, so what else is this? If you have a hardened heart, yeah, you're not going to accept God. You're like, hey, I'm doing too much. Or it's like, oh, I talked with somebody the other day that they're afraid to pray. Because they think if they pray, something bad is going to happen. You know, so I talked with them about it, and I didn't feel led to pray with them then. I might later. But they feel like if they pray, something bad is going to happen, because every time they pray, somebody gets sick or something. And I said, well, bad things happen to good people. That doesn't mean, you know, that you can't reach out to God. Bad things happened to God when he came, right? You know, try being crucified. That's God. So, okay, bad things are going to happen to me, right? Because they happen when Jesus came, bad things happened with him. You know, he wasn't the richest man in the world. You know, and then he died a horrible death. They did it for us because he loves us and he wants to be closer to us. He wants to be inside of us. And all we got to do is ask him in, not harden our heart and not say, hey, God doesn't care about me or bad stuff happened anyhow, so why talk to God? And so if you don't talk to God, then somebody else is going to talk to you and make things look real good to start with. And then when you're in trouble, you know, Satan's going to say, hey, look, nobody loves you anymore. Nobody likes you. You might as well kill yourself. Because Satan condemns, but right now we're in the age of grace where God forgives. And so Satan condemns just like he tried to do with Job. You know, he's always doing that. Whereas God forgives, Jesus forgives. So can't harden our hearts. Next slide. So our hearts must be right to accept the Word of God. We got to accept His Word. Who is God's Word? Jesus. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among mankind. Jesus is God's Word. Next slide. All right, so some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil at all. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched. They withered because they had no root. Kind of reminds me of those little things. I don't know if y'all did that. I don't know if y'all did that when you went to school, but remember these little round dishes they used to have? It had like some kind of gel in it, and it had a little cone you put on top, and you'd put a little seed in there, and you could watch it grow and see the roots. Anybody ever see that? We used to do that in school, but if you didn't plant them, they'd die because that thing, that little gel was shallow. I don't know if it had any nutrients in it. It was kind of like planting stuff in sand. You know, you can water it a lot and starts growing. And unless it's a cactus or something, you know, which I used to eat cactus, but I came here and I found out you could. So I'm actually going to grill some today. So it's a good grill. Gets all the slime out. But anyhow, so our hearts have to be right. So what's a stony soil? What happens there? Next slide. Shallow heart. So there's what happens. See, that plant, it like rained a lot. You know, it's kind of like here in California. You know, there's rocky places and it rains a lot. And all of a sudden, everything's, even mountains that are just made out of rocks and they don't have any trees, they even turn green sometimes. But yeah, sometimes if they're lucky. But then, you know, after a while, which we're getting into that now, I think, what are we, Los Ninos or El Nino or whatever? It rained a little bit longer this year. But then everything dries up, and then it gets burned up, and the wind blows it away. The firemen get extra pay. Some of them, the hot shots, I worked with them. They don't make any money, really, except during fire season. Then they get a lot of extra pay because they're just really, really, really busy. They don't call them hot shots for nothing. In the National Guard, we were out helping those guys out, and one of them, one of the soldiers wanted to join the hotshots, you know, and that's an elite group. It's Special Forces of the Firemen. And they said, if you pass a PT test with us, you get to join. And that soldier did. I don't know if they cut him any slack or not, but he got to become one of those. But, you know, we got to work hard to do God's will. Hey, I try to connect everything I say, right? So we got to work hard to do God's will. And, you know, we can all be hotshots in God's eyes. So we got to be receptive. We can't have a stony heart. Next slide. Yeah, so that's kind of reminded me of that thing I was talking about in school. But yeah, our hearts must be right for the Word of God to take root. So we have to be able to take root. We can't have stony ground that, oh, if something happens, yeah, they hear the Word with great joy. Like I've seen people do this, like, oh, I'm saved. You know, when I'd go to camp or something, summer camp, people would get saved, then they'd come back to church, and I'm getting rid of all my records, I'm getting rid of all my rock and roll, I'm just doing Jesus stuff, and nothing, I'm not even going to watch TV unless it's some kind of evangelist or something, whatever. Yeah, so for about 6 months, maybe even a year, they're on fire for God. But then after that, they're themselves again. They're like, you know, that was too much. And they're back to their old selves. They're not on fire for God again. So Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That doesn't mean it's easy being a Christian, but He works with you, and He doesn't want you to just throw everything away, change everything, you know, to the extent that you can't maintain it. And we, because Jesus is trying to build, He wants His Word to really take root. You know, so this is about somebody that receives it with great joy, but then, you know, it goes away because it's not deep enough. It hasn't taken root yet. And a lot of times they try too much too soon, and that's not going to work. God works with you. Next slide. So other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. So yeah, that might be good soil, but it's not prepared right. And then weeds seem to grow everywhere, which I don't know. I'm kind of glad citrus is kind of like a weed here. That's a useful one, right? And cactus. But yeah, weeds grow everywhere if you don't. And so you got to get rid of the weeds. And you got to use Roundup or pull them out or chickens or goats or something to get rid of the weeds, right? Because they compete with the plants. And the weeds will choke the plants out. Next slide. But what are the weeds in our life? There's a cop. He's having to get rid of some weeds, right? So yeah, there's a lot of weeds that choke out. So jewelry's not bad. Houses aren't bad. Cars aren't bad. We wouldn't make it to church without a car, right? But yeah, when we and money too, it's not necessarily bad. It's harder for a rich person to get to heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of the needle gate in a town, right? But then some rich people are good, like Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus. You know, they help bury Jesus. So, yeah, these things that God gives us and these blessings that God gives us are all good, but we need to put God first, and then everything else will fall into place. Have you ever seen people that have just a lot of money, but you can tell they're not happy? They're not happy and they're not good to be around. You know, because that doesn't work. Whereas a lot of people think if they have all this, they're going to be happy. And I've seen people that'll get a new car or something, and they're the happiest person for 2 or 3 weeks, and after that, everything's the same again. And they're talking about getting something else. And so that's just kind of like a drug or something to fill the hole that's in our hearts if we do not have God. Next slide. So our hearts must be right to put the Word of God first in our lives. So, yeah, I saw a little track when I was a kid. You know how they used to put tracks in the bathroom? I'll read that. And it showed a throne. And the first picture showed self sitting on a throne and a bunch of other stuff. It was all chaotic. Second picture, it showed God. I think it had a J for Jesus, you know, put Jesus on the throne, then everything else fell into place. And so with Jesus, you'll be happy whether you have a little or whether you have a lot. Sounds like a commercial, a little, a lot. But yeah, with Jesus, you're going to be happy no matter what because you're going to feel Jesus. Bad things will happen still, but you can get through them. And in jail, which I guess y'all know, I'm sheriff's chaplain, I work in jail, so... But in jail, a lot of people realize that because they lose everything they got and they get a study Bible and they read it and they learn about the Bible more than we do because that's all they got to do. You know, you just have a little box of legal papers and a Bible, and so they really get a study Bible, and there's companies that send them for free, and they really get into that and do Bible studies. And then some of them get out and never come back. Some of them can only be Christians when they're in a protected environment. So, you know, God does that because, you know, getting to heaven's the most important thing. It's not what you have. It's not what you do. It's not who you are. This life is only for one purpose, and that's to get to heaven and help other people get to heaven. Next slide. So, put God first. If you put God first, you'll never be last. I don't know. That may be like, hey, the last will be first. Who knows? But see, Jesus, he says, how do you be the greatest in kingdom of heaven? I think the mothers were a couple of the disciples. Who were they? Peter and James, I think. So they were like, hey, are they going to sit next to you in your kingdom? Which they were kind of confused. They thought the kingdom was just going to overthrow the Romans or something. Those are my favorite characters in The Chosen. I like the Romans. This sounds bad, right? But anyhow, they were the first Christians, Gentile Christians. But it's not a kingdom like that. Jesus says the least will be the greatest. Like a farmer, a lot of times people make fun of farmers, right? Like, Green Acres or something. They'll make fun of farmers, but they're the ones doing the work. They're sowing the seed. And Jesus says, whoever does the most in a kingdom and is the least in a kingdom is the greatest. Whoever serves the most is the greatest. He's like, I'm the cornerstone. So nobody can get lower than cornerstone. Nobody can get lower than Jesus, but He's the greatest. He's the King. Because God's kingdom works different than our kingdom. Our kingdom, there's a guy at the top of the pyramid that just sucks everything in, right? God's kingdom, it's the other way around. Next slide. So, good soil is a fruitful heart. So, still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. So, that's what we want to be for God's Word to grow in our lives. And then we become the farmers because then we start sowing seeds. And I like that thing about, sowing seeds. That guy that was homeless and got one of those bags and now doing it. It was something like that. And so that's what we do. And we all have a purpose. And no matter what we do, you might even think you're not doing anything, but how you interact with people, you're sowing all the time. So I got to be careful. Like, I can't get upset at somebody or try not to. Next slide. So good soil is a fruitful heart. So we'll harvest. Jesus says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Harvest is great, but the workers are few. There's a lot of people that are ready for the Word of God. Next slide. So yeah, what do you call a man that's outstanding in his own field? A farmer, right? Or her own field, right? Next slide. So yeah, we can all be outstanding in our fields. Well, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. We'll say that's about ready for harvest. That's not just a bunch of grass and weeds, right? Next slide. Okay, so everything is okay. So with your kids, do the job right, or if you're still doing it, no matter how old you are, no matter where your kids are, if they're in a military station in Alaska, you can still do a good job as a parent. So you can still communicate with them. You can still be somebody that they can talk to, they can come to for guidance. Next slide. Is that it? Oh yeah, then you can give the world's greatest dad or world's greatest mom award, right? Hopefully God will say, well done, my good and faithful dad, right? Or good and faithful mom. He'll be like, well done, my good and faithful servant. Next slide. I think that's it. Is it over with? All right, good. Now we're going to do our offerings.